Right now, a new report from the Washington Post says that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had presented a list of 7 words not to include in documents related to the upcoming federal budget. On that list, vulnerable, entitlement, diversity, transgender, fetus, evidence-based, and science-based. The director of the CDC denies any such ban exists. Many people are concerned with the effect such a change could have on the agency's work. Dr. Patrick Remington is a professor and associate dean in the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He also serves on the CDC Task Force for Community Preventive Services and the CDC's Editorial Board for Preventing Chronic Disease. Dr. Remington, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what was your reaction when you heard these reports from some staffers at the CDC about these 7 words being banned from the CDC's budget documents?
Well, I was really surprised, and I did a little bit of searching for, you know, the source of the news, and you have to be careful these days. Mm-hmm. When something comes out and it's a headline all of a sudden, you really want to know whether it's accurately citing what happened. And I think what happened is this is not words that have been explicitly banned from use by people at CDC, but the guidance was to those staff at CDC writing budget documents that if these 7 words were avoided, that their budget proposals might fare better in the current Congress and administration.
Right. So this is not saying to a CDC researcher on the Zika virus, say, don't say the word fetus. We don't have any indication that that is happening.
No, again, this was budget. This was guidance for proposals going up the ladder from Atlanta up to Washington to be considered by the Trump administration. And again, the guidance was that these are words that might not fare as well given the current political environment as alternatives that may rather than saying. These are evidence-based programs. These are programs that have been shown to work and may be appropriate in communities depending on the situations in that community. So, in effect, soften the terminology. But again, at worst, it is an attempt to guide the a major science and evidence-based institution to do their work differently.
Does something like that, an attitude like that, potentially trickle down to people doing research in the field?
I think it will. I think any time you are threatened by avoiding terms that may not fare well the people who fund your programs, you not only avoid those words, but you may avoid the work. It's clearly been done in the area of firearm injury prevention research that those recommendations are fairly explicit that CDC is not to be involved in any research in that area. And so it can move from, you know, avoiding terms for political correctness all the way over to avoiding even examining these issues. And that, of course, would be horrible. I think the history of CDC is very interesting in that it's not in Washington, D.C. You might expect it to be as the nation's public health agency, but it was developed in Atlanta by accident, entirely by accident, following World War II.
Why did it end up in Atlanta? I've always been curious about
that. Well, it's a very interesting story in that when GIs returned from World War II, they brought malaria with them, and malaria, the insects that could transmit malaria were in the southern and eastern parts of the U.S., and to combat malaria in the U.S., they set up an organization called the Malaria Control in War Areas, the MCWA, in Atlanta to base these interventions to eradicate the mosquito and then malaria, and they did so successfully. And then the Emory University sold some property to the government for $10, and by 1946, that became the Communicable Disease Center, again, beginning with malaria control, but going on to other communicable diseases, and then in the 70s and 80s went on to many other diseases and became the Centers for Disease Control. But that very origin in Atlanta really has kept CDC fairly distant from the politics in Washington. It's been known as an agency that sets itself apart from the political winds of Washington and instead focusing on science and best evidence possible.
We're talking to Dr. Patrick Remington from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at the reports that the CDC was going to be avoiding supposedly certain words in their budget presentations to the Trump administration. And Dr. Remington, can you talk about the role of the CDC, what it does? In the movies, you know, we see them in the hazmat suits when there's a huge disease breakout, but there's a lot more going on there.
Well, certainly is. And one of the key aspects of the CDC is outbreak detection and control. And that's an extremely important part of the role of governmental public health. It was CDC at the lead and our state and local public health departments. But CDC plays a really important role in assessing the evidence and what we know might work in communities or in public health practice. In fact, I serve on a task force of unpaid volunteer scientists who go to CDC and who review the evidence to know whether these programs actually work. It's independent. It's not funded, not biased by industry or external groups. And the CDC is looked to as a source of that fair and unbiased scientific information. And so this is a concern that that this group, and in fact, I just got off a phone call with the task force moments ago where we're debating whether this guidance should change the work we do. And I wasn't able to stay on to hear the conclusion of the call, but my guess is going to be that we won't. We'll continue to make our recommendations based on the best evidence available.
Has the CDC been subject to political pressure from past administrations?
Absolutely. I think anytime you're involved in government, there is this friction between the folks at the front lines who are dealing with science and evidence and the people in the political settings who need to get elected and need to respond to their constituents. And probably the best known example of this was when HIV/AIDS was discovered during the Reagan administration and the reluctance of the administration at that time to first recognize that there was even an epidemic and then to support the investigations about its cause and strategies for interrupting the epidemic. And many times there are conflicts between what might be best evidence and then actually putting that evidence into practice in Washington and in states and local communities.
I want to look at a couple of the particular phrases that are apparently viewed as best avoided in CDC budget proposals. Science-based and evidence-based, why would those raise red flags, do you think?
Well, frankly, I don't know. I mean, I can understand some of the other words about issues related to diversity and sexual minorities, given the politics in Washington, but I'm perplexed as to why science-based and evidence-based would need to be avoided. The only thing I can think is that when a program is shown to be evidence-based, let's say raising the taxes on cigarettes is an evidence-based program to reduce the consumption of cigarettes, and many states have used this policy, that doesn't necessarily mean that a community should do that, that the decision to do that should go beyond the science and consider the politics and the economics and the social desirability. And it could be that if you want to get your budget proposal approved, don't rely simply on the fact that this is science and evidence-based. You need to put it into the context of the other factors in society. It's the only reason I could think that this guidance would have been given. And again, I think those two words really are chilling, to think that you have to avoid using the term science or evidence-based when making a budget proposal.
And then another one you just referenced there, transgender is one of the best avoided words according to this reporting.
The only thing I can think is that there are political factions that believe that this is something that is not desirable in society or in a federal budget, and again that a proposal that comes forward with that or the other words mentioned would be less likely to fare well. And I would imagine that the staff at CDC, that the leadership of CDC, in fact, the director of the CDC, Brenda Fitzgerald, has been tweeting that in no way will this change our work. We continue to use these terms in the work that we do. And so I suspect that this was a stumble by someone in the staff who was trying to, in effect, be helpful for to allow CDC to do its work, but to deal with the current political situations in Washington.
So as we wrap up, do you see this as maybe just a little bureaucratic glitch, not much to see there, or is this something that does have you worried?
It does have me worried. I think that it reflects the schism between science and politics currently in Washington. We know there's been discussion about the science of climate change, and those words actually often get taken out of documents. And I think when we move an agency like the CDC to a point where they have to be concerned about using words that are based in science, based in evidence, then we have politics reaching into science, and we won't have agencies that can do the best possible work that they can do. It has to obviously work in the current political climate, but it should be really absolute in its use of best practice and best science.
Dr. Remington, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Dr. Patrick Remington, Associate Dean in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us to talk about a report that leadership or some in the CDC are trying to avoid a certain words. We heard the list of seven words earlier in budget documents.